It's time for Hanson McLean Advisors Money Matters, hosted by Scott Hanson and Pat McLean, credentialed financial advisors serving you since 1993.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us this weekend.
That's right. Glad you are here with us, both myself and my co-host. We are both financial advisors. We meet with people like yourself throughout the week, and we come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air. So whether you've got some folks that you work with now, or do things on your own, or you just want another opinion, or you just want to just have nothing else going on, or we're glad you're here.
Or if you're just starting, or just pretend you're a relative of mine and call me whenever you want and ask financial questions.
You mean like the text I got yesterday from a friend? We're about to do something. Can you call me this morning? I look at this. I'm thinking, okay, we have 4,000 clients. You hit me up about every 6 months for free advice, and I'm supposed to drop everything. Anyway, why am I saying that?
You did call them back. And I love helping.
We'll have a conversation this afternoon.
And I love helping my relatives. But my point being, you're like a relative to us, except you haven't borrowed money. Call us. Ask questions. It's that easy. No, I'm joking. My relatives haven't borrowed money.
That's very much.
No,
I got caught this week because my wife saw in the check register there was a certain dollar amount lent to a certain old friend.
Oh.
And she's, what's up with that such and such? And I'm like, yeah, I didn't know how to say no.
Which is nice.
I didn't know how to say no.
It happens. Listen, we've all had hard times in our life, sometimes harder than others.
Don't pretend
for a moment that I remember when I first met you, the engine mounts on your
Volkswagen Jetta.
Your Jetta broke, and you were in a tight space for a while.
My engine fell. I think we talked about this in the air. My engine literally fell out of the car.
I had known you for a couple months.
An immediate stop.
I remember at one point in time I bought a Hyundai at a repo.
All right,
repo lot. My point being, it's not all wine and roses.
Where did you get those new headphones? They looked like women's.
Do you not like
your wife's? Or Kathy's?
You didn't know?
Turn sideways again. They're like flowers on them.
These are rock candies or hard rock. Rock candies.
Skull candy.
Skull candy.
Something like that.
They're skull candy. Okay. I got them in New York City.
You did?
Yes, I needed some new headphones. I was walking down the street in New York City.
And someone on the side of the road sold them to you.
He pulled up. 1967 Eldorado. Threw open his trunk. Huge selection. Massive selection.
And the prices were unbelievable.
No, I was going...
Not quite skull candy.
I was walking...
Scam candy.
I was walking down the street in New York City. I was at a conference. I needed some new headphones. Okay. And then it was one of these stores that... It was absolutely amazing.
I'm just giving you a hard time anyway.
Deep discounts. It's like a Best Buy on steroids.
This is a financial program.
It was named Better Buy. Not just Best Buy, Better Buy.
This is a financial program. I do have a pretty funny story on that. This is a financial program. Both myself and my co-host are financial advisors. If you'd like to join us, we've got a question for us regarding your finances. Our contact number here is 916-921-1530. Anything about your retirement, your savings, whatever it might be, 921-1530.
1-800-834-1530. That's 1-800-834-1530. Or you can email us at questions@moneymatters.com.
Yes. So you talked about Best Buy, Better Buy. When I was in college, I sold credit card terminals. You know when the credit cards were first... they first started having those little electric terminals. I worked for this company anyway, I figured a way to contact brand new businesses and get there first and get the business. So this is what I was doing in college. And so this was in, it was like an area of East Los Angeles. I forget the name of the neighborhood. Not the kind of neighborhood you'd go strolling with your kids on a Sunday afternoon, right?
But you would sell credit card terminals.
Absolutely.
There.
So I'm looking for the Brooklyn Discount House. And so I show, is this the Brooklyn Discount? The Brooklyn Discount. This is the Discount House of Brooklyn. So these guys, literally.
That's like a Monty Python thing.
Half a block down, these guys opened up an electronics shop with a name almost identical. They just switched the words, right? So he's like, no, they're down there. I said, oh, I'm, I was just here. They're going to get Visa and MasterCard, so I guess I'll go see that. Anyway, so I ended up selling this guy.
Because he thought the other guy was going to get it.
The other guy was going to get it. They thought the other guy was going to get it. So then I went and sold the other guy down the street. But when the guy went to install it, he said someone blew up the front door. They blew the thing up.
Oh.
Now, at night, they planted a bomb and blew up the...
Probably the competitors.
You think it...
It's like the Monty Python, the Christian Judea front, right? And then there was the DJ front of Christian.
Okay, yeah.
Right? Remember that? Oh,
okay.
No.
Well, we're going back
the show was only an hour.
Middle-aged white men talking about Monty Python. That's entertainment.
Actually, that is kind of... You were there, but for the rest of the listeners, we were at a conference this weekend. We had a management team, and our head of IT guy is brilliant physicist. In fact, on our website, he wrote a column called Passcodes, How You Could Get One That Takes 1,400 Years or Something to Break. If you go to handsomeclean.com.
Yeah, it's an excellent article on passwords, and I was actually, I certainly learned something. He's a particle physicist. I don't know.
Why is he working? And Hanson McLean.
Because he's got a couple other master's degrees and other things, and he likes us, I guess.
That's what he says. But
we haven't verified now I think about it.
So he was given the thing, and I thought one of the funniest things I've heard all year is someone asked him a question about, why are we doing it this or this? And he said, look, I could argue both sides of it, but it'll be like watching a bunch of nerds argue about Dungeons and Dragons. And I thought, that's kind of funny.
Dungeons and Dragons?
All right, let's go to the calls. If you'd like to join the show, 916-921.
Before we do that.
1530. That's 916-921-1530.
I think all of us are familiar with what's happened with oil prices, right? A few months ago, we were sitting at $100 a barrel. Now we're at about $45 a barrel.
And what's happened with currencies around the world, too? Holy smokes.
That's exactly where I'm going with this. The euro, we were at $1.40 to the dollar just a few... A few months ago.
Yeah.
The euro on Friday was what, $1.12?
$1.12. $1.12.
That is a tremendous swing. And here's how it is impacting many Americans in a couple ways.
First, and corporate America.
Well, those, yes, they are Americans too, but I don't know.
Actually, I forgot that Supreme Court ruling that corporations are people. Thank you for reminding me that.
People too, with feelings. So be gentle on how you. So the challenge is couplefold. One is as our dollar continues to gain in strength against other currencies, primarily we're talking about the euro here, it makes our exports more expensive. So we're trying to be selling more stuff overseas. It makes our stuff more expensive. It makes their stuff less expensive. So now buying, French wine, if that's you're into that sort of thing, that'll all start getting less expensive.
Peugeot car.
Le car.
Anything.
Anything that's made in Europe is going to start being less expensive. But But
the stuff we sell to Europe is going to be more expensive for them.
So it's a challenge for multinational corporations, many.
And many of them derive lots of their income from overseas.
But from an investor standpoint, here's where you can really see it and where you'll notice it. If you own foreign investments, either through foreign stocks, companies like Shell Oil, lots of different foreign companies that are good chance in your portfolio, either own foreign stocks or foreign bonds. You might own a bond fund that has some foreign exposure to it. You might have had good returns in euros, but when it's converted back to dollars on your statement or when you look online, it might be flat or negative. That's what we saw last year, 2014, for many international stock funds, international bond funds. And frankly, we're seeing it again this year. It is a challenge. And so there's a couple ways people look at it. I'm seeing it right now. Hedging. You're talking about maybe we should hedge the currency. The problem, it swings both ways. So if you're going to own something long term that's domiciled outside the U.S. and you choose to hedge your currency year to year for something you're not going to sell in 20 years, it's almost like paying for an insurance that you're really not going to ever need. because it's going to go on and on and on.
Yeah, over time, what happens is the volatility in the currency will flatten.
Because the euro came out at par with the dollar. When was that, about 20 years ago or so?
Was it that long ago?
Maybe not. Like, maybe it was 15 years ago.
Great social experiment, by the way.
The euro fell, down to about 80 cents to the dollar. Then it rallied up. It was up about $1.60 for a couple years ago for a period of time. And
It's traded in the, 130 to 140 range for quite some time. Isn't it around there now?
I think it was 150 not long ago. It just kept sliding, sliding, sliding. The dollar continues to get stronger. Who was predicting this 6 months ago?
I don't know.
Not many that didn't know that much. So
yeah,
just really, it's really kind of a fascinating thing to watch. It's just a good reminder.
Well, you know what's interesting is the quantitative easing that's happening in Europe as well.
Oh, my gosh.
But it took a long, long time for them to implement quantitative easing because they were hoping the banking system would kind of fix itself.
Well, that's because it's a European central bank.
Yep. And you've got to get a ton of people to decide to come together on
it. I think they first had to get the court to say they could, and that's kind of what happened. This last. Anyway, it's a big social experiment with the European Union and... of course, Greece is always on the... Anyway, we're taking a quick break. When we come back, we'll start taking some calls. 921-1530. Toll free, it's 800-834-1530. And you can also send us an email at questions@moneymatters.com. This is Hanson McClain's Money Matters. Welcome back to Hanson McClain's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McClain, sporting my new headphones, the rock hard skull candy. I got rid of
them. We both have these big sucking headphones, and I notice sometimes, like, I was flipping the channels, like Imus in the morning. He's still on something. He's on.
Is he?
A lot of them wear those little ones, and like Kitty O'Neill has those little tiny earbud things. They might be. I don't know if they're like the free ones you get when you get your iPhone.
I'm pretty sure that they're probably nice ones. I like them because they sit around the ear. And I took my old Bose headphones and I put them in a drawer here because people are always looking for headphones or they lose them. Or they.
I thought you were going to tell you gave them to the homeless or something.
No, I didn't.
Like, here. Reminds me of a pastor in my church. When he first started out, he was a missionary in the Philippines, whatever they were doing there. There was someone that would send them used tea bags, like every couple months. Like a tea bag, one used tea bag, like Lipton tea, once you're done with them, most people throw them away. Someone thought, oh, somebody could have some use for them, so that.
Wow.
Anyway, why am I talking about that? We should go to the calls here.
All right.
We're talking with Tom. Tom, you're with Hanson McClain.
Good morning, gentlemen. Great show.
Thank you, sir. Good, thank you.
My wife and I are at the point now where we need to start planning for retirement, et cetera, et cetera. And we probably need to set up a trust that we have a couple of grown children doing very well. What kind of thumbnail, how much does it cost, should it cost, to set up a retirement plan trust? Account.
Well, so let's separate the two things, right? There, retirement planning is a structure in itself. It's a process, and a trust is a vehicle that gives direction over assets. So you may not need a trust at all. You might just need a retirement plan. And when we say retirement,
we're going to need a trust. We have some fixed assets, income producing property.
Got it.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
Significantly.
And oh, got it.
So
a trust. So if you go to an attorney, an estate, you want to work with an attorney who specializes in estate planning. You don't want to have a divorce attorney do your trust or a personal injury attorney do a trust.
Right.
Or someone who specializes in estate planning. The reason you want to do that is you want someone who's highly educated in that. They already have all the trust documents. It's kind of plug and play. But the value can be when the attorney is having a conversation with you and your spouse, assuming you're married, and going through and trying to really help you figure out what it is you want to accomplish, to understand that, and then developing the trust in a manner to make sure it accomplishes what your wishes are.
And the cost of that is just completely dependent upon how complex your situation
is. $1,500 to $2,000 plus.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Something like
if
that.
You find all someone right. who's going to do one for $399,
don't use
probably
them.
Not.
No, 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 no.
Yeah. So I would expect to spend $2,000. How many properties do you have?
One major and one minor.
Yeah. I'd expect to spend $2,000.
So and you just want someone who will sit and have some conversations with you to and help and come up with some help you come up with some different ideas on how to make things happen.
And the biggest part of it is how that money is distributed to your adult children if there's a death in both your if there's a death of both you and your spouse, because oftentimes that is where we see situations occur when you've got a 31-year-old that all of a sudden inherits $1 million or $2 million and they're not responsible enough to actually manage those monies. What I have in my own trust is I dole the money out to my children. I have four children. My wife's death and my death, the money will be doled out to my children over a 15-year period. And the reason you do that is the first part, you figure they're going to make big, big mistakes on it. You're going to wait a few years. Hopefully they've learned a little something. You're going to dole out a little bit more. And then at the last dole out, you're hoping they're going to use it for retirement, if there's anything left.
All right.
And I think
comment in regards to your euro.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
Due to the slowdown in the port shipping, California agriculture has tens of thousands of containers of packed product that can't get on a boat to go to Europe.
Yep.
And in this time frame of the last 3 months, the euro has deflated by 25% or 30%.
Yep.
Therefore, the amount of money that growers will be paid will be proportionally less, which means less equipment's purchased, less truck drivers are paid, less labor is purchased, and it is costing California agriculture hundreds of millions of dollars.
It gets to the point there when you brought me through that. It got to the point that you could put something in a freighter and ship it over there, and if you did not hedge that at all because of the slowdown, you could have actually lost. It would have been cheaper for you just to dump the product.
Yeah, it might have been.
There might
be some people sitting in that situation today.
That had said, to the guy in the middle of the sea, I wished I would have thrown it. I never would have taken it out of the queue.
That is a real issue right now with these ports.
Big, West Coast
ports.
Big issue.
Longshoremen.
Well, appreciate the comment.
Yeah, thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
And I think what you also find is that as time goes on, your thoughts about the trust will change. As your children get older, this is what I've experienced in my own life, right? As your children get older and change, your thought about how money is to be distributed to them will change as well. And as you get older and change. So you expect to update your trust every 5 or 10 years, just as a kind of a natural. It's been several years since my wife and I've done it, and that's one of the things I think, I should probably have a look at that again this year.
We updated ours 3 years ago. And do it about every 5 years. But it's a good idea to sit down and read at least the portion of the trust that decides how the money's going to go, because your ideas change. I had a friend tell me once that he was telling me he had reread a book over the 10-year period 3 times, a classic book. And I said, why do you reread the same book? It never changes. And he said, I change every time I read it. I thought that was pretty insightful.
Kind of like me watching reruns of Dumb and Dumber, the movie.
Yeah.
My wife will say, what is wrong with you?
You're starting to relate to the characters more and more.
I don't think I relate to this. It's just mindless dribble. I don't know. Sometimes, not very often, I read the same
book. I do.
Movie. But this port issue.
2 years before the mast?
This
classic.
This port has all been academic to me personally until this last week. Now it's a personal thing. Here's the people can now understand how difficult it is to be Scott Hansen to have my life.
Oh, I can't even wait.
No, I ordered a new mountain bike in, I think, October. It's supposed to be in mid-January. Stuck in some shipping container. I won't be there till mid-March now. So the little local mom-and-pop bike store. They can't sell as much product. This is a real issue.
It's a big issue.
For manufacturing on the West Coast.
Yeah.
Well, and actually anything this side of the Rocky Mountains.
There are people saying, we're just going to ship directly to the East Coast ports and bypass, and they got the Panama. Didn't they just reopen? Is that open now,
they're,
the bigger?
Yeah.
Now, is it Nicaragua wants to build one, too? Is it Nicaragua? Like, what, how many canals do we need in Central America? I don't know. But it'll be interesting to see what happens if these, and it's really the strong unions in these ports, West Coast ports.
Yes.
If what kind of impact they're going to have. We'll see. Anyway, let's talk with Don. Don, you're with Hanson McLean.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I have a question about annuities. I'm 72 years old. My only real income is Social Security. I have I own two homes. One is a rental, one I live in. They're both paid for. I have about $350,000 in an IRA that's making very little money. And I'm thinking about buying an annuity with this. And I'm just curious as which I know you're not big on annuities, but I'm just curious about
it. And what's your hope? So when you say annuities, there are 700 different flavors of annuities.
I know.
Right? And the problem is when you look at them, you're looking for the gotchas, right? Like, what am I missing here? What are you hoping this annuity will do for you?
Just to make a little interest.
And when you say a little, you should be happy with your bank rate if you're just looking for a little.
Exactly. Okay. I would like to make 4 or 5, maybe 6%.
Okay. All right. So, and what do you think about the possibilities that you're going to find an annuity that actually does any of those things? Have you seen one that you think satisfies either the 4, 5, or 6%?
Well, what got me started thinking about this is I went to AAA the other day, and they're selling annuities that pay 4% for 5 years, or at least the first year is 4%. After that, who knows?
Okay.
So I just got to thinking about it. So I went on the internet. And I looked at 10,000 sites on buying annuities.
Yeah.
A little scary. So I just thought I would call you and maybe.
But you know what? Gosh, that is why. This is why we are why we rail against annuities. It's not that there aren't good products out there. There are, but there are so many bad products out there. Like what you just explained there. It's a bonus annuity. What happens is they lure you with this teaser interest rate. Hey, come here. We're going to give you 4%. For the first year, but your money is locked up for several years, and the subsequent years, they know they're not going to be paying you as much.
They might
as 4%.
Pay you 1% or 0.5% or whatever their minimum that they're allowed to pay you, which makes it difficult. So when you look at what you always got to have to do is peel back and then any investment product, and you say, what's happening behind the curtain, and how are they going to get to that yield? Because they don't want any risk either. In fact, they want to make money and have you take all the risk. So when you look at the 10-year treasury, and the 10-year treasury is paying 2%, that is a risk-free rate of return for a 10-year investment. That's where
right.
You go, right? So it's about paying 2%. Anything that promises above that over a 10-year period has got some degree in risk in it. But the problem is it's hard to determine what the risk is.
Well, an insurance company doesn't necessarily have any risk in it, which means that you're probably not going to get a whole lot higher return than that.
So the best way to answer this question...
Let me step back real quick. Do you need additional income from this?
I don't really need it, but I would like to have it. It's ridiculous to have that kind of money floating around making a little teeny bit of money when I know there's probably some things out there that can make a little bit more money.
So right now you're all in a, sounds like savings account or CDs or something like that. You're looking at moving all to annuity. It might make sense to say maybe there are several things you could be doing with your IRA dollars to yield something better than what you're yielding today, rather than just jumping all to an annuity.
Have you ever owned an annuity?
Never.
Have you ever owned any stock market investments?
Oh, yes.
And you're not a fan of those?
That sounds like a no.
Yeah, I was in the stock market heavily, and then in 08, I sold everything.
Right.
I've been very scared ever since.
Got it. Here's what I would do.
You know what could make some sense from is some sort of variable annuity with a guaranteed income rider with some guaranteed death benefit. That could actually make some sense.
Scott, I got a question whether that, because this risk tolerance, because...
Don't let anyone sell you an annuity.
Yeah, because an annuity, right,
really?
You can get these guarantees in there that guarantee income and guarantee a death benefit.
I see so many people.
But they have, there's cost associated with that,
oh,
and
yeah.
They have volatility. It's going to show up on the statement. Here's what I would do. Dawn, I would go to Beal Bank. I would go to an online bank, and I'd take that money and I'd put it either in a money market or a CD. Right now, you could get about 0.8% if you go to an online bank.
I'm in several different with some other money and several different credit unions, and I'm making about close to 1%.
Perfect. I think but that
you're saying that's the best I can do with $300,000.
Yeah. With a your risk tolerance, from what you have said to me, if you were my brother, I would just say, hey. I get it. Yeah, you're not unhappy about it, but it's not worth going up the risk chain.
We're up against the clock. If you do look at an annuity, get something with a short surrender period. Otherwise, people get lock up their money for 15 years and such.
No. Yeah, I wouldn't do that. This one that I was looking at is for 5 years.
Yeah, but it doesn't. It's not gonna.
You're not gonna get 4%.
You're not gonna get 4%.
You might be unhappy a few years from now too.
Yeah,
okay, we got to run there. Don, appreciate the call. 921-1530 is the number to join us again. 921-1530. This is Hanson McLean. Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean.
Glad you're with us on the.
And Scott and I were
Last weekend, and is there one more weekend this month? 24th, 25th weekend.
So Scott and I were over the break. We were talking about
my stepfather's birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday!
Yeah, we're gonna have him over for dinner tonight.
Hmm? Well, that's nice. He's a nice guy.
Yeah, very nice guy. I didn't think so when I was a kid, but you know how that's funny as you grow up.
That some people that you didn't really like as you grow up, you come to respect.
No, like a lot of people, like my broken home, and my stepfather is a 180 from my father.
Yeah.
And as a grown up now, I look and I'm so grateful for having his influence in my life. But when you were
when you're 11 years old
and you're thrown into a house, there's six kids in the house. And
yeah, when you're 15,
like a Brady Bunch.
They want you to come home at midnight. You're not quite appreciating that that type of parent. Anyway, over the break, Scott and I were talking about the Sacramento Food Bank and Family Services and how in the last 2 weeks it merged with the senior. Actually, it took place in December, but it became public last week with senior cleaners.
Oh,
so
excellent!
And I know that Scott is a large supporter of the Sacramento Food Bank, which we greatly appreciate.
And Pat is the chair of the board of the food bank.
And the rest of you who do the Run to Feed the Hungry every year and support the Sacramento Food Bank, our mission continues to grow, and it's working.
Unfortunately, there are people that still need.
Yeah, it's a rough. Anyway,
we're talking about financial stuff here and helping people with their finances. If you want to join us, you have a question for us, we got a couple lines open. Love to hear from you. 921-1530 is our number here. 921-1530. Toll free, 1-800-834-1530. Or you can email us at questions@moneymatters.com.
Or you could go and listen to these at any time on our website. HansonMcLean.com, or you could view the video podcast, whatever they're called. The video cast? What do they call them? Podcast?
You can listen to the podcast.
Oh, can't you view the videos online,
no,
too? Not yet? I thought that was
fun. Here's what I enjoy about working with Pat. Pat and I have worked together 21 years. We'll be in a meeting, and we'll talk about some things that would be good to do as an organization. Oh, yeah, we should do that. And some we actually say, yes, let's do that. We'll put a plan in place and get that to happen. As soon as we walk out of the room, whatever was discussed as things we're going to do, it's like it was already done that afternoon. It's like within 3 minutes of after the meeting's done, somehow everything is fully implemented.
You can listen to the
podcast.
We will
be at a point in a couple months where anyone could watch the radio program.
We're
online,
not there yet.
No, we're not.
Okay. I stand corrected. You could listen to the podcast.
I mean, I think we just hired a new producer for the program that hasn't even started yet. As part of the role of the producer, is this sort of stuff.
He's not even doing a good job yet.
No, I know. What are you? How are you going to? Anyway. All right, let's go to the phones here. Let's talk to Ron. Ron, you're with Hanson McLean.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, Ron.
I'm 68. My wife and I are both retired. During Social Security pension. We have about $1.5 million in savings. We own our primary residence and four other properties. What I'm trying to determine right at this point in time is the best allocation, given that where I came from, and I would describe myself as essentially conservative, there was a point a few years ago where we had 20% in stocks. The rest was mostly cash. I've gradually moved that up over the last few years to 37% in stocks, which is probably on the high side for me, I'm thinking. 30% in bonds, which has moved up primarily out of money market funds.
Okay.
30% in money market funds. And that 30% is what I'm wondering about, moving it into bonds, and if so, which type, and whether or not I've gone up too much in stocks. Your comment.
I think you're awesome. Yeah. I got to tell you, I think you're awesome, because what you're actually questioning is not so much the return, but your emotion regarding the asset classes that you own.
Yeah, you step back. So we always like to say there is no, well, sometimes they're wrong answers. By and large, there really aren't right or wrong answers to allocations. It's really what somebody's trying to accomplish. So over the years, you're 68 years old, you managed to orchestrate your life in such a fashion so that you are retired with pension income, Social Security income, a home paid for, and four other rental properties. Plus, you've got $1.5 million in savings, right? If you said, I feel most comfortable having the $1.5 million in greenbacks at many different banks' safety deposit boxes around the country.
That would be fine.
Okay, I think it'd be weird, but I think it'd be fine, right?
If you said, I want 100% of my dollars into the most aggressive thing available in terms of assets, that would be fine as well. How much income are you taking off this $1.5 million?
Approximately $3,000 a month.
Okay.
And how much of this is in retirement accounts versus outside retirement accounts?
It's almost all exclusively in IRA and
perfect.
A little bit in Roth.
And why are you taking the $3,000? Are you spending it? Do you need it?
Well, we our expenditures are approximately $7,500 a month between all the different properties that we have and other expenses. We have little debt. We have no car debts or any other debts. The vacation home at Tahoe, we don't rent out at all.
Uh-huh.
And
you have no debts on any of the properties?
Oh, we do. Oh, we definitely do. Two of them are paid off.
Okay.
There's three loans on three properties.
Okay.
And how much do you owe on those properties?
Primary residence, $170,000. About $40,000 on one. $100,000 at the property at Tahoe.
And are all these are all the interest rates 3% or sub 3%?
They are. They're all at around 3.5%.
One thing you might want to consider is earmarking a portion of your IRAs, or actually carving one out designed specifically for that IRA's job to pay these mortgage payments.
Oh, that we're doing already. I make. Okay. About
see, he's fine.
$1,000 a month on each of the mortgages.
Yeah, you're fine. Sure. So the answer to your question is, you're asking an emotional question, which is this appropriate?
It's more than that. What's happened as the feds have orchestrated these low interest rates?
You have been driven into a riskier asset.
The whole point of this is designed to get people out of cash and to invest it somewhere in hopes of spurring on the economy so the economy can finally take off on its own.
I'm trying to do my share.
And you're that's doing exactly what it is, because you're looking at like, why am I getting point nothing?
So I'm going to take some more risk. I think that you're actually fine. I think that you're fine.
But I don't like making 0.2% on that 30%.
Oh, you know, so you could take that 30% and put it in a bank account and get more money. I don't know how much more I would push that out on the risk.
I mean, if he could go into some shorter-term bonds and get a little more out of this, it's not going to be all spent. I wouldn't have any problem with you saying I'm going to take, two-thirds of that money in the money market and moving out in some more conservative fixed income.
Scott, the first thing you would do, though, is you would look at his overall income to see how fast you could push that out to pay down the mortgages without moving yourself into a higher marginal tax rate.
Would you think like an intermediate bond fund? Most of the funds, by the way, are with Vanguard. All of them are.
Yeah, intermediate bond fund would be fine. But the reality is...
Or even short term.
You're paying 3.5% on mortgages, mm-hmm. right? The question is, if this was after-tax dollars, we'd take it out immediately and pay off those mortgages and call it a day. But it's not. But you can go in to see if there's any more room for distributions based upon your marginal income tax rate to see if you could push any more out than you can to accelerate the payments on those mortgages.
Okay. Well, I'm doing quite a bit now. Sometimes, like this month, I put an additional $5,000 on one of the mortgages.
Perfect. So
Pat's talking about as far as making sure you're taking out the distributions from your retirement accounts right to the point where before it'll push you to a different tax bracket.
When you do your taxes, you want to maximize that distribution. I bet there isn't a lot going wrong here, Ron. So I think that moving it into more of an intermediate bond fund is fine. I don't think it's going to hurt you at all.
If rates skyrocket in the next 12 months, you're going to see a downward pressure in price. That's reality, right?
But 37% of your portfolio in stocks, good mutual funds, I think you're fine. I think you're fine. Absolutely fine. And you need that confirmation, which is regardless of what the markets are going to do, I'm not going to react to this.
Okay.
I'm just not going to react to it.
Well, that's the tough part I have.
Oh, I know that. I know that because...
Well, it wouldn't be bad for you to scale some of your stocks back because you were 20%. The reason you're at 37% is because the stocks have grown.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, when we design the most conservative portfolio internally at our firm, it's about 20% in equities. Because the way the asset classes, the way they move together, historically, we actually can have lower volatility by having, say, 80% in fixed income and 20% in equities than having, say, 100% in fixed income.
The problem with that is this: we don't know how long this bull market's going to run. I mean, we have been on a tear in the equity side. This has been a great, we have been a long time since we've had a 20% pullback.
Yeah, I don't actually think it would be a bad idea to scale back on your equities a little.
Yeah, bring it down to 30% or 25%.
Okay, gentlemen. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks.
Good luck, Ron.
I think that was the question. I think that was the answer he was looking for, because as soon as he got it, he hung up.
Like, boom. Felt like I've had some dates like that when I was younger, too. It was like, whoa, what happened there? Anyway, 921.
Where did that come from? Holy smokes. That is stuff you just save for the privacy of the counselor.
We'll talk again Monday.
Monday.
All right, we have time for a couple more calls. 921-1530 is the number here. 921-1530. This is Hanson McLean. Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
Oh, good time this weekend. Good times. 921-1530. Oh, and also send us the next program where I have to answer many of these emails. Questions at moneymatters.com.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you send us an email, question, you can send it at moneymatters.com.
And we'll...
What's the response? We'll send it back to you.
There'll be a response.
Yeah.
Some sort of response.
Something.
Leave me alone, please. I don't think that'll be it. I'm just kidding. Good response. Let's talk to Roger. Roger, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hello.
Hi, Roger.
I went to a financial seminar and got my free steak dinner, and they were talking about a product, fixed index annuity. They weren't selling it there. They said they want you to set up an appointment and see them. But they said you get all the gains of the market, but none of the downside.
Mm-hmm.
Product.
So how did they say how they did that and what the cost is for that?
Well, they say you could tie it up for 10 years and you'll even get a 10% bonus. So, you know, you get and a 6% cap. So again,
there we go. Okay. And there was a participation rate. Did they tell you what the participation rate was?
The 6% cap.
No.
So what the 6% cap is, Roger, is in any 12 months, regardless of what the underlying index does, the maximum you will receive is 6%.
Okay.
So here's how these work. If you bought this, you would give the insurance company your money.
Let's say $100,000.
They would give the insurance agent who sold the product a commission, probably 10%.
Maybe 8%.
maybe more than 10, maybe, who knows?
Whatever the number is.
They're very expensive internally. The insurance company would then go into the marketplace, take most of the money, buy bonds with it. Then they would take some of the money and buy options.
On the S&P 500 that cap at 6% that says even if the market did 20%, the most that they're actually going to get paid is 6%, and it doesn't include any dividends in that number. There's also caveats on many of these index annuities that if you take a distribution out prior at any point in time towards the end of the...
It messes it up.
It messes it up, which means that you don't get the same credit. So do you need income out of your investments?
No.
Okay. If you were to hold it for the 10 years, it may be a...
You might get 3%.
It might be viable for you.
I bet he wouldn't earn more than 3% in 10 years.
My guess is, and look, we're licensed to sell these.
And right? Never have.
And have never sold them.
Let me ask you, when are taxes due on the gains on these things?
They're annuities, so they're only due when they surrender the contract.
When money is withdrawn.
Oh, okay.
And if you don't withdraw it in your lifetime, it's due when your heirs pay the tax on the gain.
So,
and it's taxed as ordinary income.
So where's the money coming from to buy this?
Well, it'll just be from from bank account, you know, savings account. But if you tie it up for 10 years and the 10-year period comes, do you have to take that money out? Does that become a taxable event at that point?
You could do a tax-free exchange into a new annuity contract, or you could take it out and pay taxes on it. Here's what our problem is with these things. We're licensed to sell them. We actually have people call and ask them if we would sell them one. We can't get comfortable with them. Which is, Roger, if you call me today, this is the promise I would make. I would say to you, the first day I buy an indexed annuity for myself, I will tell you to buy one as well. And I don't own one.
I don't like them.
I just don't.
A lot of it's the structure of them and the high commission products that they are. I mean, I see ads, because we're licensed, I get ads, earn 12% commission. Your ship has come in. They're designed to yield to an insurance agent, to a broker, to sell a product. They're designed, they're very expensive that way.
So you've got cap rates and you have participation rates in there. And the participation rate says, you might only get 50, 60, 70% of whatever the market does. And they don't include dividends. So they're so dang murky. And what they really are is they should be regulated like they were securities, but they're not.
The insurance industry lobby has been so strong, they're able to stay away under the purview of the Securities Exchange Commission and
and FINRA.
They're designed as fixed insurance products. Someone doesn't need a... They don't need any securities license to sell these. They don't need to be an investment advisor to
sell
these.
They don't even have to have a complete understanding of how the markets work. So how was the steak dinner?
It was good.
Was it?
Were there
a lot of people in the room?
Yeah, there was probably about 40 people there.
Yeah.
I would not do it.
I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it, Roger. And the first day I buy one myself or offer one to my client, I will let everyone know.
Okay.
All righty.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Right, I appreciate the call.
Yeah, I just, you know, for the life of me, I don't understand how the state regulators, because insurance products are regulated by the states, although there was just something passed in Congress with might be more federally regulated going forward. For the life of me, I can't understand how these regulators allow the products to even exist in the form that they exist. Or why not cap a certain amount of commission? Look, in the securities industry, let's say I'm a broker dealer is helping a water district sell their bonds.
Okay.
Okay. There's a cap on how much markup they can have in there.
Yes.
That's regulated.
Yes.
And if a broker is selling bonds one to another, brokering products, there's caps, there's regulations on how much profit margin can be.
Why do they put those caps there, Scott? Because the products are murky to begin with. They're hard to see.
That's correct, because it's hard to see. Nobody knows what the spread is. If a broker buys something for $100 and resells it to someone for $101, they say, there's no commission because I'm just selling it to you. So that's why you don't really... the challenge I have with these insurance products, I just don't get it. Equity index annuities, real estate investment trust, you know, a lot of these pay commissions north of 10%. Where's that money coming from? The investor, right? There's no such thing as a free lunch. It's coming from the investor.
They're often pitched as cost-free. It doesn't bother me as much as the fact that the way they're written, you really can't, it's hard to determine where you're going to end up based on participation rates, cap rates.
All that other stuff. They give you we'll give you a bonus, a 10% bonus. So you got to keep your money for us for 10 years. We'll give you a 10% bonus. What's that mean? Well, we'll guarantee you 1% a year interest.
And you know how long that is? Not a single, like Larry King never even had a marriage that lasted 10 years. That's how long that is.
He may or may not.
Oh, I'm joking.
Larry King. Is he still?
Never. He's still wrong.
Is he still doing shows?
Yeah, he's doing something.
Little lights in the back.
Anyway. All right. So this is the point in the show where we tell them about our website and how to get in touch with us. No?
Did you even look at a clock? Where's the clock? You can't even see your clock. Look at that.
There it is.
Anyway, we are obviously not big fans of equity index annuities because they're just...
Yeah.
Anyway. So to Pat's point, we're less than a minute left in time. We've got a phenomenal website. If you haven't been to handsomemclain.com in a while, we've gone through a whole revamp on it. It truly has some fantastic information there. Everything you can imagine...
lots of content, a tremendous amount of content, investment content, not so much promotional, but investment content that we have filtered and written some of ourselves that you can have access to.
Yeah. And for example, we have our, 7 personal decision points ebook. You can download that. It goes to the 7 personal decision points that people make at retirement. We've got our 9 biggest worries, financial worries that people have and how to get around those sort of things.
We've got our newsletters.
Newsletters. Our latest one talked about...
password protection.
Yeah, and you can also watch our quarterly webcast where we talk about the markets and all those sort of things. So
that's HansonMclain.com.
Yeah, so go visit there and enjoy the rest of your weekend. We are here every Saturday from 10 to 11. We rebroadcast Sunday from 2 to 3. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll see you next week.